Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, for being with us today, giving us your anointing, your wisdom, giving us ears to hear, eyes to see. Thank you for what you're about to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to continue with Great Shakings Bring Man-Child Revival, number 6. Okay, we're going to call this first one Man-Child Coming to Pick Up His Bride and Judge the Nations. This was given to Gabby Dibble, 1-8-22. The very nature of this dream seems like a strong shift was taking place, larger than what we would call average. Well, Gabby's name means God is my strength, or woman of God, and it represents, I believe, the bride in this dream. I dreamed I was getting out of my car, and as I looked up into the sky, I saw an eye, and also another part of a face next to each other. Well, I believe it was God's eye and Jesus' face. Kurt Bryan had a dream of a giant eyeball up in the sky watching everything he did. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch upon the evil and the good. So Gabby said, within seconds, the scene became very clear. The moment I saw the faces forming, I had this deep feeling it was going to be them. So as the faces formed, one looked angry while the other was without an expression. The face without expression, and she has in parentheses God's face, was slightly above and more towards my right of the other, while the other, and she has Jesus' face, was slightly below and more towards my left. So, well, the Lord is coming again as a lion, and this time he will judge his church. Isaiah 31:4 says, for thus saith the Lord unto me, as the lion and the young lion growleth over his prey, if a multitude of shepherds be called forth against him, will not be dismayed at their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So will the Lord of hosts come down to fight upon Mount Zion and upon the hill thereof. Amen, amen. So, yes, there's a lot of people who come against what God will do because they don't have understanding. I could not tell you what they looked like as the memory has been taken from me, but their faces were in the clouds, and it was in the middle or evening time. The afternoon or evening time, I should say. The angry face didn't seem to be looking directly towards me, but rather the world. And after I glanced at the faces, it began to get dark outside very quick. I believe the darkness is beginning to cover the earth leading up to the seven-year tribulation. We'll read later of judgments falling upon the earth. I took my mom outside because I wanted to show her what I saw. I said, Mom, Mom, I had an open vision. But as I tried to share it with her, she kept changing the subject before I could tell her. Well, the apostate mother church is what we are born out of. And the apostate leadership and its followers do not have an ear to hear what the Spirit says. When I had taken her outside, the sky looked different. The moon was huge, low, and red, and divided into four equal parts, cut out and spaced a little apart. I think we just had a red moon, did we not? I'm not sure. In Joseph's dream, the moon represents his mother, who was a type of the church in Genesis 37, 9 through 11. God divides the church into four parts in the parable of the sower, where three out of four fell away and only one part bore fruit. So you see, God is coming to do this. Jesus is coming to do this. I said something about repentance, and that it's time to get right with God. I had the fear of the Lord like never before, but my mom pretty much ignored me. The apostates will not be granted repentance because the Lord must tribulate them first. And some will repent in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, and some won't. And she said, I remember my oldest brother, Nathan, was going to come pick me up, and I was going to stay with him. Well, Nathan, the firstborn brother here, means gift from God. And he represents the man-child reformers who are coming for the bride. And Romans 8 and 29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And she said, I had a suitcase packed, and as I waited for him, representing being ready to go into the wilderness tribulation behind the man child. And I was talking with a man and a woman outside my house. I kept sharing this open vision with them, and I said, Jesus is angry with the people. We have to repent and turn back before it's too late, because he's coming soon. I felt strongly he wasn't happy with the church and the majority of Christians because we weren't fully surrendered and living for him and with him. As I was talking, things outside got very interesting. The people became more dangerous. It's as if in the very short time that had passed in this dream, I was aware that the atmosphere had shifted. Well, things and people are becoming increasingly evil at a faster and faster pace now. Isaiah 60 and 2 says, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. A car even drove up and hit the guy I had been speaking with, and I was worried he was going to get run over and drug under the wheels of the car, but he was able to walk away. And I think this may represent that God will spare many from calamity who are listening to the bride. They will be granted repentance and be able to walk away from the evil of others who want to drag them down. Amen. People around me seemed more corrupt than ever. I saw a woman who represented my mom, and she wanted to commit adultery against my father. Well, that reminds us of Hosea 2, 2 through 5. Contend with your mother, contend, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. And let her put away her whoredoms from her face, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. Yea, upon her children will I have no mercy, for they are children of whoredom, for their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers. I then remembered I was warning Leanna, my sister, about what I had seen. She seemed like she was halfway listening to me. Well, Leanna means gracious and merciful. She represents the little sister in Song of Solomon 8 through 9. We have a little sister, and she hath no breasts, but shall we do for our sister in the day that she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a turret of silver, and if she be a door, we will enclose her with the boards of cedar. She represents the elect of God that will come out of apostasy and follow the man, child, and bride into the wilderness tribulation. God will be gracious and merciful to them and grant them repentance and give them ears to hear. I was telling her that I was pregnant and waiting for Nathan to pick me up. I believe this represents the woman who is pregnant with the man-child and about to give birth in Revelation 12, 1-6. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child. And she crieth out, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his head 7 diadems. And his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations. We'll run into this again in just a little bit here. Very interesting here. Who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. Amen. As my brother Nathan came in his black car to pick me up, other people from my house blocked off his car in the road because they viewed us as running away. They wanted us to wait with them instead of us leaving. In Psalm 18:6-17, we're told, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry before him came into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the mountains quaked and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, a fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down." Coming of the Lord, right? "And thick darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he soared upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his pavilion round about him, darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness before him his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them," that is, the enemies of God's people, "yea, lightnings manifold and discomfited them. Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare. And at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, and he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too mighty for me. Yes, amen. We know that when David was anointing, he came against the Edomites, he conquered them, and so on. My mom's car, my sibling's father, and another vehicle were all around my brother's car as he pulled up to get me. And I remember trying to think of what to do because there was some kind of urgency and I needed to make the right move. Let me say that these people seemingly resisting this move is, it reminds us of the family of Joseph as a type of the man-child, who they were against him at first, but ended up bowing down to him, as it was with Jesus. Genesis 37:9-11 says, "And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren. And he said, Behold, I have dreamed yet a dream. And behold, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father, and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him, and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father kept the saying in his mind." So we see that the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars represented that family that was around him. And as we can see, they didn't start out receiving him. So here's one we received from Anretta Wakira. And we called it Maturity and Sanctification Saves During the Tribulation. This was on 10/23/22. "I dreamed that I was in active labor on our bed, and I asked the Lord, Am I pregnant? And he said, The woman is travailing." So Anretta here is representing the woman church in this dream. "I then walked to the kitchen, and there was a scale. I placed something that was wrapped up, I believe representing her fruit, onto the scale and began to count the numbers. The weight was very low, and I said to myself, That's not enough. I find myself wanting." That reminded us of this verse here, Daniel 5:27. "Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." Well, we know the Babylonian church's fruit does not yet measure up. It will, but it does not at this time. "Then the scene changed, and my husband, Andre," representing the father, "our son," who didn't look like our son in real life, representing the maturing man-child, "and I were all sitting outside on a beautiful sunny day. We were watching children playing sports in a field." Well, this represents immature Christians who are in competition in their sects and divisions, and the field, of course, is the world. "Without any warning, chaos began to erupt. The sun got brighter, and the ground started to break up." Well, we know that earthquakes come with the appearing of the man-child, and Jesus was resurrected at the time of a great earthquake. Isaiah 64:1-2 says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, and that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might quake at thy presence, as when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence." And she went on to say, people were screaming and running all over the place, and there was a lot of confusion. Yep. So here the Lord comes down at the time of this great confusion. We'll see this again later. I saw my husband, Andre, grabbing our son, representing the man-child being caught up to the throne after his birth. I started to run towards them, but he told me to grab the things and meet him at the top of the hill. I believe this is representing Mount Zion. I wondered how I would know which hill it was as I turned to gather the things. John 14, 4 through 6 says, "And whither I go, you know the way. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How knowest we the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me." So we have to follow in the footsteps of the Lamb to end up with the Father on the top of Mount Zion. The ground with the grass rose up, standing taller than me. Well, we know that the man-child comes with earthquakes, which have both a spiritual and can be a physical property, right? And this is at the beginning of the tribulation. I tried to reach for our things. There was a pair of spectacles, a satchel, and a book. Well, I think the book represents the Word. The spectacles represent the ability to read the Word up close with clarity in order to climb Mount Zion, right? Then I thought, I better get our medical records too in case we need them. And possibly our medical records represent the blood of Christ and the record of our good confession in heaven that makes us exempt from the curses of the world. Because by his stripes, you were healed. Amen. Then the scene changed again, and I found myself in a chaotic hospital setting. People were shouting different things. Someone was shouting that they were exempt. Someone else was crying and screaming, saying, "But I have allergies." It appears that the people are begging not to be forcibly vaccinated. They needed an exemption. So it went on. She went on to say, others were confirmed to the hospital beds, confined to the hospital beds, crying hysterically. And we thought this possibly could represent medical tyranny and medical martial law imposed on the masses. Yeah. There was a lady who was part of the medical personnel, and she was monitoring the people's medical charts that the other medical personnel were grabbing. She was going through each chart to allow some pages in the charts, but refusing for any charts to be taken away. She started going through my chart and saying, "No, you can't have that. Nope. Not that either," and so on. Well, we know that they won't permit the things that actually work in the medical establishment. I was getting very impatient because she was very slow and methodical in her sorting. Then I looked down and I saw a piece of paper that didn't belong to me on the ground. It had the heading, "Homeschooling," on it. I picked it up and tucked it under the few papers that she had allowed me to take, and I ran out of the hospital. Well, homeschooling represents that we are in the world but not of it, and we receive our education from the Holy Spirit. Amen. I opened the door to a completely quiet street. It was very dark everywhere. There were people wandering all around, should have been wandering all around, and there was a dark blue light that glowed everywhere. People were using this blue light to see where they were going. It's possible that this dark light represents a false enlightenment. People think that they're walking in light and truth, but they are really deceived. And they think it's the heavenly light, but they're really deceived. There were also beasts mingling around the people. They looked like T-Rex dinosaurs and were as tall as a man. Well, we know that there are many members of that body, right? And these individuals are everywhere. And I believe this is representing the mark of the dragon beast authoritarian system. The mark is 666 and the number of man, right? Yes. And these beasts were as tall as a man, representing that they have come into full maturity. I saw them stopping to smell people's arms to either devour them or let them go. Everyone seemed familiar with this and obediently stopped and raised their left arm for a sniff and then continued to walk on. Well, in the dream, the mark is detected by the beast sniffing the left arm, representing that the rebellious goats will take the mark of the beast in their right hand or foreheads, right? I knew I was different from everyone here. A man wearing a dark blue robe that got lighter in color towards his feet, and I walked to the edge of the pavement in front of me. As he got to the end of the pavement, I felt one of the beast's attention lock onto me before I even saw it. I started to walk quickly towards the man with the blue robe because he had stopped and turned towards me. And just before I got to him, the beast caught up with me. My left hand went up and he sniffed it. And my hand immediately straightened out against my will in between his open jaw. I felt his teeth beginning to crunch onto my hand. The man put his hand in front of mine in the beast's mouth and it stopped biting down. I quickly withdrew my hand and started to walk next to the man as he playfully allowed the beast to keep his hand in its mouth. Well, I do believe that this is Jesus, the man-child, and I believe that he will spare many from being devoured by the beast. In other words, he traded his life in exchange for ours. And if people will believe that and accept that, they will receive his deliverances. In the bushes on the left, I saw a woman watching me intently. She was following us, trying to hide, but I was very aware of her. The beast then left us. This woman who was intently watching the bride and man-child represents the little sister in Song of Solomon 8 and 8. And this is a corporate body of believers who will come out of apostasy to follow the man-child and the bride into sanctification. We turned the corner very quickly with the man leading. He pulled back a curtain and taped on a corrugated door and said urgently, "Enter." Tapped, I guess, on a corrugated door and said urgently, "Enter." When I entered, I found that it was an outdoor, in-ground toilet, and I started to use it, representing getting rid of waste of the old flesh life. The woman that was following stood in front of my door like she was waiting to come in next. And I believe this may represent the little sister will learn about sanctification from the man child and the bride. And I asked myself, how will I know if it's safe to come out? I felt that it was time to leave, even though I couldn't see what was happening outside. Well, it's you're safe outside if you get rid of the waste, right? Amen. So this is Claire Pinard's dream, 11-3-22, and we called it Dream of Outer Darkness. In this dream, Claire represents the bride because of her name. We've used it quite often, means brilliant. And the bride's garments are bright and pure, as is spoken of in Revelation 19 and 8. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints, which speaks of obedience to the Lord, right? And Rion, her husband, represents the man-child body of reformers, as his name means little king. So she said, I dreamed Rion and I were on some kind of spaceship. And this spaceship probably represents traveling in heavenly places in Christ. We were in complete darkness, and it was unbelievably cold. We were traveling towards my real dad and mom's house, the house that I was born in. Well, the first fruits are the first to come out of the apostate mother church's house. We were there in this darkness to fetch one or two specific people. I believe the man, child, and bride will rescue many from the cold darkness of the apostate church. We got to the house, and I saw a boy from my childhood there called Simon Groom. Many of our childhood peers in apostasy have still not grown up because of false doctrines that don't allow for spiritual maturity. He looked homeless and hungry. And, of course, they are starving for the real good news of the gospel because of the true word is not being preached in their apostate churches. And I asked him, do you come here often? He replied, one or two nights a week. Well, the apostate Christians think you only have to go to church one or two times a week to be okay with God, and the rest of the week they can live the way they want to. Well, as we got out of the spaceship, we had to walk over massive icebergs that were cracking under the pressure of us landing the spaceship there. Well, just remember where they are here, right? The apostate church is founded on frozen doctrines that are cold and unmoving and don't have the life of the living water. And I call them the frozen chosen. It was still completely dark. It was intense. And I asked someone to give me a jacket. And then a big pink full-length cloak was draped over me instantly. And she has in parenthesis here that the pink cloak represents being covered completely by love. Love covereth a multitude of sins. Yes, it does. Everything was still dark and silent, save for the cracking of the icebergs. I could see the cracks and was concerned and did not want to be there longer than absolutely necessary. Well, when the man-child and bride arrive on the scene, the foundations of the apostate church will crack up and be destroyed, just as it was in Jesus' day. We were able successfully to retrieve one of the people and come back into the spaceship. And then the dream ended. And we thought about one will be taken and the other left. And this one was given to Debbie Finsky on 10/15/22. Man, child, and bride protected from a devastating explosion. I dreamed I was in a room with other people who, in the dream, I knew, but not in real life. I knew that they were not there merely for the sake of being together. Everyone was quiet, and there was a sense of anticipation in the room. I looked around and I saw just a few people standing in the room. There was no talking among them. I saw two young men sitting on high stools at a high black counter, and there was a computer by them. They were working on something, like a computer component board. They both were wearing white T-shirts. The guy on the right had a little sharp-pointed tool, and he was gently poking at different parts on this component board. The guy on the left was gently touching different parts with his finger. Well, I think it's possible that these two men represent angels sent with judgments, represented by the high black countertop. They were bringing components together of this world, which result in an explosion, as we're going to see. And this war is being fought by AI computer of the fifth generation, they say. And the Lord, through his angels, is in control of their artificial intelligence, as I've mentioned before. Yes, their power, authority exceeds what man thinks he can do. All of a sudden, there was an explosion that shook the room very hard. This room, I believe, represents the world. I saw some things fly off of shelves. The people who were standing around were shaken to the point that some were falling to the floor. They had nothing protecting them from falling. Some were trying to hang on to the things to keep from falling. And this could be representing people trusting in their own strength and worldly things to save themselves. I looked to my right, to the opposite side of the room, and I saw a young woman standing against a white wall. She was on the other side of the room, away from the rest of the people who were on the left. She was dressed in blue pants and a blue blouse. And this is the bride dressed in heavenly works, standing on the right. She had nothing to hang on to but the white wall, representing sanctification from the world. She didn't fall, though I watched her being shaken pretty badly to the point of almost falling. She had her hope in sanctification and separation, unlike the others who were trying to stand upright or holding on to whatever they could find. In other words, in their own strength. I was amazed that she kept standing. Okay. Then I saw in my spirit a door, and it was closing. I believe this means time is running out to prepare. Then I heard it shut very hard, making a very loud noise. Then there was a terrible explosion. It was a very deafening and hard explosion. It went on for many seconds. I could not see anything after the explosion, but when it stopped, there was an awful lot of smoke, and I knew that there was total destruction to the room, though I couldn't see anything. Then, though the explosion was great and very destructive, I saw a door to my right. Well, those on the right represent the sheep and the wheat, and as opposed to the goats and the tares on the left, right? So I opened it and walked into another room that was also full of smoke, but this room was not totally destroyed. And probably because its inhabitants are on the right, right? And as I kept trying to look through the smoke, I could see metal filing cabinets standing in the room. There were chairs and papers and other stuff thrown all around. I then saw a woman on the floor, and that is in this partially destroyed room. And I believe she's representing the elect of God who are being awakened by these explosions. We feel very, very insulated, in our part of the world, but the truth is we're in the hands of God and judgment too. And she was trying to wake up another woman. I believe this is representing the apostate church. She was anxiously and fearfully shaking the woman and talking to her and telling her that she had to wake up, but the woman would not respond at all. Well, many of God's elect will be awakened by these judgments and will then try to wake others up, but many will still not wake up spiritually, even after these things happen. A man, probably representing the man-child reformers, came and picked up the woman, representing the elect of God, who will wake up as a result of these judgments, who was trying to wake up her friend, representing the apostate church. He lifted her up off the floor and began leading her towards the direction that I just came from. That's the room that the bride was in. The bride then leads the virgins to the man-child in Psalm 45. I kept saying to myself, I can't believe we made it through this. I can't believe we made it through this. And then I woke up. Before I went to bed the night before this dream, I needed to get my random verses for our morning Zoom prayer meeting, and I really felt led of the Father to ask Him to give me a very pertinent verse. And He gave me Psalm 91:5, and we'll read 5 through 11 in context. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flieth by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. I was wondering if the arrow could mean a nuclear missile exploding, or missiles exploding. The deep state is trying to start a real war, and they have the pestilence prepared, as the Alliance knows. Verse 7 goes on to say, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. So God's in control of judgment, and He knows how to take out the wicked. For you have made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. So remember, don't get fearful around the plagues, right? Okay, this is Gabe Watson's revelation he got on 10/17/22, and we called it An Experience of Power. He said, yesterday I was going through a time of what seemed like reflection, and I kind of felt like my life had no purpose, kind of meaningless. I've been waiting so many years, and it seems like nothing is happening. I didn't feel sad or condemned by it, rather just wondering what God's mind was on everything. So I was just questioning what God's purposes were for me in my life and if I was missing something. I was really earnestly seeking God and wondering, what am I doing? Is there something I'm supposed to be doing that I'm missing? I don't want to waste any talents, even though I don't see myself as having any great talents or anything, but I know the Lord has given us some. I want to be able to use them. And before I went to bed, me and my wife prayed to the Lord about these questions. I woke up in the middle of the night and went to lay down on the couch. And as I was laying down on the couch, I don't know if I fell asleep or if I was awake, to be honest. I'm assuming I fell asleep for just a few minutes, and it seemed like a dream, but I could feel everything happening in my body. It was so real. I could hear myself say to myself, "You are such a loser." I felt like it meant that I was not good for anything, meaningless, meaningless life, etc. Well, the thought that came to me about this was, we can do nothing without him, but we can do all things through him. His power is made perfect through our weakness. And this revelation comes before this experience that he is about to share with you here. You know, we do have to not be working in ourselves, in our own power, and God's power is going to come to those who understand that. So, Gabe said, immediately after that was said, this incredible force picked up my entire body. Not even the strongest human on earth would be able to resist this force. My body was powerless, as I had no control over my motor functions. However, my consciousness was still there, and I was completely aware of everything that was going on from an observing point of view. This force was moving me across the ground as if I was a floating object. I then noticed something that the force was moving towards. And as I got closer, I knew that it was a shadow in the shape of a man. As the force brought me directly over the shadow, I shot up into the air like a rocket. The force moved me with such extreme velocity and an incredible amount of G-force, I felt like my body was shaking like an earthquake. Well, this is probably the Lord coming in the man-child with an earthquake, as it was when Jesus went into resurrection life, right? As I was going straight up into the air, it seemed like the shadowy figure is what made the force shooting me directly up into the air. I was shaking so excessively that it seemed to be contorting my face as soaring up through the air. I then seemed to come either out of the dream or into an earthly reality. I started to think normally, thinking is something wrong with me, or what is happening to me? And the force started to wind my body down, and it began to become less intense. It shook me so hard that I could still feel it in my physical body. And as I either woke up or came into complete consciousness, I then started meditating on what had happened. I thought about the shadowy figure. The only thing that kept coming to me was Trump. I have no idea why I felt this way. I might have looked like him. It might have looked like him. I'm not for sure. I don't think about Trump a lot, so it was an unnormal for me to think that way. Well, Trump is typed by Cyrus, who conquers Deep State Babylon, just when the man-child is anointed over the kingdom by the king. And Cyrus is a shadow of Trump. Cyrus makes it possible for the latter rain man-child to come and release the captives, as in Isaiah 61. So the shadow person could represent both of these entities ruling under God, as a verse that he received, which I'm going to share with you. The refuge here will be formed, and our new provisions to reach the world will come. So he said, I then have a Bible app that I check every morning, and it sends me a verse of the day. I looked at the verse, and it said, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I was amazed that it had the word shadow in the random daily verse. Okay, so now you can see that these entities that are ruling on the earth are under the Almighty shadow, right? Okay, this was given to Claire Pinar 11-6-22. Pretty fresh stuff here. We called it David President's Rule After the Queen. I dreamed Rion and I were in a convoy of luxury vehicles to meet the Queen. This was a queen similar to how Queen Elizabeth looked. And in the dream, I thought to myself, haven't you already died? Well, she did die, and it was a long time before her official death, but you know the show must go on, so anyway. We were driving our silver van. David Eales was in the convoy with us in his own luxury vehicle. I believe the David man-child reformers with they're going to receive riches in order to build the kingdom and will have authority over all the power of the enemy. And he had a driver. I believe this is the Holy Spirit. The car was a light champagne or light gold color. It was clear that it was a type of changing of the guard. There were no flags flying over the residence. It was surprisingly small for what one would typically think is supposed to be a queen's residence. We arrived at this large circular driveway at the queen's residence, and Rion mistakenly parked there instead of moving along. We'd never driven in or through a circular driveway, so it was slightly confusing for us. He reversed and moved the van through the driveway once, and then, once everyone had parked, we were the last to park our vehicle. David was dressed sharply in a light gray suit. He looked like a president with his hair all slicked back, and he wore a pale blue tie that made his eyes sparkle. I looked at our van, and it had transformed into a camper van. And she puts in parenthesis, our tabernacle. Yeah, well, it's also ready for the wilderness tribulation. It is a camper van, right? I was a little embarrassed by this camper van outside the Queen's residence, as it seemed out of place. But I still dutifully followed David and the others into the building. There was a large estate next to the Queen's residence, and a couple that lived there were out on their first floor balcony with black spy glasses or binoculars. I believe that this probably could be what's left of the deep state spies. They were watching Rion and I like hawks, and it was uncomfortable to feel their piercing eyes on us, but as we walked into the residence, they could no longer see us, and I felt better. We were first in a holding room where the Queen's attendants were signing us in. We met two black missionaries, and they were very tired. We came to find out that one had been raised on marijuana, so he thought it was normal, and it seemed to have very little effect on him. These men spoke the gospel with such conviction and with no regard for any man-placed authorities like the Queen's attendants. The Queen came out, and she was so very old. She greeted us all very kindly and told us she'd be going very soon and that she was preparing things for David. The attendants were like restrained but rabid dogs, quite forceful, but knew that they couldn't do anything to us. And I believe that these black missionaries were, well, I'll speak on that in a minute, I guess. We sat at a long dining table with David in the middle and all of us around him. We were feasting in the middle of this change of authority with David as Mr. President. There were grapes on the table, wine, as well as lamb and focaccia bread. In other words, feasting on the blood and bread of the Lamb of God. That's what I saw there. Everything had garlic and salt on it. Garlic is good for the heart, and salt preserves. There were about 40 people at the dining table. The Queen wanted all of our details, but she did not receive them. Water started dripping from the ceiling, and they had to move us to a bigger room, as they were scared of being liable for someone's hurt from the water. But David said, it's going to continue to drip and then flood, but you will not be able to stop it. They didn't like that fact. Well, it is the flood of the latter rain, which is deadly to the carnal man, right? I knew the residents would not get damaged by the water because it was a marble floor. The foundation was already refined and very strong. I think the strong foundation here of the rock of Jesus, the Word, is already laid. The Queen sort of disappeared. Then we were all just waiting for the next command. We turned to these two black African preachers, and I knew David could deliver one from his stronghold of addiction. The other was older and more patient and friendly. He reassured us that the younger one would break free soon. Well, I think this could imply there are many ministers walking in the addiction of the darkness of apostasy. And it is an addiction to them. They can't break free of it. They've got too many motives to keep them there, and besides religious spirits. And but these will be set free by the Reformation. Okay. I received by faith at random Ezekiel 39:28-29 for this dream. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, in that I caused them to go into captivity among the nations, and have gathered them unto their own land. And I will leave none of them any more there, neither will I hide my face any more from them. Well, he has hidden his face from many, okay? But now he's talking about this awakening, right? For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel. There is the latter rain outpouring, says the Lord. I believe the Davids will come out of the captivity to rule over the political realm in the spirit and lead God's people, just as it was with Joseph and Daniel and Zerubbabel and others. I say that this Mr. President thing is all about ruling in the spirit realm over the principalities and powers and over all the enemies of God. For I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Right? All right. Well, Father, thank you so much for this revelation. We ask your blessings upon us, and we can see the things that are coming, the shakings that are coming, you've shown. And we thank you for preserving your people through this all. Amen. All right. God bless you, saints. We'll do this again.